This is InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's what's happening on this week's show.
Are mass multiplayer online games a colossal waste of time? Or does gaming offer crucial long-term benefits in the real world? A recent study challenges the notion that online games are worthless.
Instead of asking how many hours you're playing, wasting your time, asking the question of what are you actually learning? What are you developing as a skill that you can actually put into practice in real life?
Then, over the past 20 years, alcohol-related deaths have skyrocketed, mostly impacting young adults and women. We'll have the story.
We choose the way we die by the way we choose the way we live, and there's a lot of room for improvement.
Those two interviews and more are ahead on this edition of InfoTrack. Stick around. Our show begins right after this.
Let's play
Bet Your Life.
It's the game show where you gamble not only your life, but those of your passengers and fellow drivers when you get behind the wheel after drinking.
If only it was just a game. It only takes one bad decision to change your life forever. Getting behind the wheel after you've been drinking is one of them. Don't play games that nobody can win. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
Let's face it, winter can be a hard season. It's cold pretty much all the time. Blizzard. You have to shovel. Another blizzard. You slip on ice. But you know what makes winter suck a little less? Getting a free phone. Join Cricket Nation and get a free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G. Ooh, ouch. Welcome to enjoying more. Welcome to Cricket Nation. Smile, you're on Cricket.
Cricket 5G is not available everywhere. Must open a new line on the $60 unlimited plan. First month service charge and tax due at sale. Fees, terms, and other restrictions apply. See cricketwireless.com for details.
Get even more savings this holiday season by becoming a Milo's Rewards member. Don't miss new member deals dropping every week, like $15 off a purchase of $50 or more on select Bounty, Charmin, and Puffs paper products. Plus, get free standard shipping with Silver Key status. Just one more way Lowe's is here to help you shop, save, and enjoy the holidays. Join for free today. Milo's Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. Exclusions and more terms apply. Visit Lowe's.com/shipping terms for details.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
You might think that multiplayer online gaming is a trivial waste of time, but our next guest says it can build valuable skills. We welcome Malika Shir Mohammadi, assistant professor at the University of Houston College of Technology. Professor, you conducted a study to explore this topic. What inspired you to explore the connection between massive multiplayer online gaming and workplace skills?
The motivation behind this was to look into how we can challenge some of the stereotypes that are out there about online gaming. As you know, online gaming often gets a bad reputation, as you said. It could be considered a waste of time. But what we have been able to look at has been that gaming isn't just play. It's a practice of real life skills. It's not just fun. It can actually be training and learning.
Now, your study mentions leadership as a transferable skill. Could you share an example of how leadership in gaming would translate to workplace environments?
A lot of our participants talked about how they practice leadership in situations that were in the MMO games. Because these games are multiplayer in virtual setting, a lot of people have to coordinate tasks among themselves, and a lot of times in teams, someone would emerge as a leader. And they have to guide people into accomplishing a mission, which could be taking down a boss or monster, but that's still the same. It can be transferable to workplace. I'll give you a quick example of a safety manager who participated in their study and shared how leading a 40-person gaming mission taught them how to guide and motivate large teams. So at work, they use those same leadership skills to organize safety drills, manage projects, and crediting their ability to coordinate people under pressure, especially in the gaming experience.
Now, why did you focus on players with at least 10 years of MMO gaming experience? Was there some special insight to the long-term engagement?
We were focusing on people which we consider high-performing gamers because that would give us deep insight into skill development. Because they had spent a lot of time in the gaming realm, they could provide deep and insightful stories into how they developed skills over time. We had a smaller sample, but we had people with rich experiences that could actually give us great examples into how these kind of skill development could actually happen.
One participant mentioned developing coaching skills through gaming. What makes MMO gaming such a strong platform for honing those abilities?
Coaching, again, because these games are team-based, people who might be completely strangers, they don't know each other, and some of them may, they're brought together in a team. In a short amount of time, they need to coordinate and exercise good teamwork. And some of these people, as you said, they have a long history of playing games. So they have developed skills that some other players may not have it. So they start coaching other players and helping them understand what skills are or how to navigate the different tasks. And that's where the coaching and passing on the knowledge happens. And again, once you practice that in the game realm, you will take that to the workplace. You become more tolerant and more developmental towards other colleagues at work.
Now, I can picture some parents listening who might often yell, you know, turn that off and do your homework. Have you actually presented these findings to any parents, and how did they react?
First of all, I would say that it was actually eye-opening for myself and for my team as well. It challenged some of our own stereotypes, and it helped us reframe how we see gaming, especially the MMO. I want to emphasize that because these are multiplayer online games where the setting is teamwork, collaboration, mission-based games that would allow you to develop some of these skills. So I've had people who have approached me after we published this and said, thank you so much for saying that. And a lot of our participants also talked about family and their role, and they talked about, you know, these adult participants who said, you know, well, my dad still talks to me in a way that it's a waste of your time. Why are you playing video games? And the unfortunate part is that if we consider gaming as a waste of time only, I understand a lot of our participants talked about having boundaries, and they talked about that they played excessively when they were younger and that was not good for their relationships or work or school, and they understood that they need to have boundaries. There's no question there. But trying to frame gaming as a learning experience, maybe asking a different question, instead of asking how many hours you're playing, wasting your time, asking the question of what are you actually learning? What are you developing as a skill that you can actually put into practice in real life? And that's the message really from this research. Can we reframe some of those stereotypes? Because gaming can be like any other hobby. We don't have such stereotypes about golfing, but we have it about gaming.
Our guest is Malika Shirmohamedi, assistant professor at the University of Houston College of Technology, talking about a study that was conducted with multiplayer online gaming and that it can build valuable skills. You chose games like World of Warcraft and Final Fantasy, and there's probably others. Were these specifically chosen because of the teamwork aspect?
Yes. So we did focus on these type of games because they require players to coordinate tasks, achieve collective goals, and work in a team, respect team norms, collaborate with others as a part of a team. And these would resonate with workplace. They can be associated with context of work. So that was the question. How can we develop some of these skills that are desirable in the workplace in a gaming setting and actually benefit from it?
Now, what would you say to a young person perhaps who is really good at online gaming, but they're going to go in for a job interview? Is there any way to really incorporate your skills into that interview?
A lot of our participants talked about how, although they were clear that they developed skills and transferable skills that they could take it to workplace, they talked about how they wouldn't share their hobby gaming with employers or in the workplace unless it's a they consider their safe place. They don't want to be stereotyped as unprofessional or lazy or be associated with those negative stereotypes. But if the opportunity arises, I would advise employers to consider gaming in the light of transferable skills. And younger people, if they can, again, frame their gaming and hobby as a transferable skill, they can speak to an employer at an interview about how they develop the skills in these contexts and how they can. So they need to educate others about this, but in the first place, they need to think about how they have developed these skills, value it, and translate it for someone who's listening to their story.
I'm just curious, do you play these games or do you have family members who participate?
Actually, I'm not a gamer, so I was among those people with the stereotypes, but my husband plays video games as a hobby to wind down and relax. So it really helped me to reframe the way he spends time on gaming and probably being nicer to him when he spends hours in his gaming world.
Yeah, I have a family member who every Thursday night is devoted to gaming, and it's kind of like the old days when groups would get together and play cards or something, but instead there are people all over the country who get into this gaming.
Absolutely. One surprising finding for me out of this study was how much people actually, despite the stereotype of seeing gamers as antisocial and people who like isolation, these people talked about how they made long-term friends in these virtual world settings, or being in the game space was where they actually hang out with their friends, and that's where they catch up and see each other and talk.
Fascinating study. Malika Shirmohammadi, assistant professor at the University of Houston College of Technology. Professor, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Next, alcohol-related deaths are surging, but why? The details as InfoTrack continues.
There's more InfoTrack coming up. Stay tuned. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds, which could be life-changing. I mean, you could put that money towards concert tickets for your daughter to see that singer who sings about painful breakups. And one song will inspire your little beauty to break up with that beast she's dating, Brian. Instead, she'll date someone who's nice and worthy of her love, not someone who addresses you and your spouse as, bro. And it's all because you could save money switching at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states.
Let's play
Bet Your Life.
It's the game show where you gamble not only your life, but those of your passengers and fellow drivers when you get behind the wheel after drinking.
If only it was just a game. It only takes one bad decision to change your life forever. Getting behind the wheel after you've been drinking is one of them. Don't play games that nobody can win. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
I got a line.
He got a line.
She got a line.
We got four lines. Cricket Nation. Cue finger guns. Really easy. Super stress-free. 5G so fast. Like blazing fast. Games and memes. You'll have a blast. You can get fast 5G across four lines. You can get fast 5G across four lines. As we discuss, take it from us. We four are one. Cricket Nation.
And only $25 a line. Welcome to more lines. Welcome to Cricket Nation. Smile. You're on Cricket.
Cricket 5G requires a compatible device and is not available everywhere. Discount varies by line. Fees may apply. Terms and restrictions apply. See cricketwireless.com for details.
December deals just dropped at Lowe's. Get up to 30% off select major appliances. Plus, take an additional $75 off every $1,000 you spend on select kitchen major appliances from Whirlpool, KitchenAid, Amana, and Maytag. Also, save $20 on a Craftsman VersaStack rolling tool chest. Now just $69.98. Lowe's knows deals. Valid 12/12 through 12/18. Cannot be combined with additional discounts. See Lowe's.com for details and qualifying items while supplies last.
You're listening to InfoTrack. To learn more about our guests or listen to past shows, visit InfoTrack online at InfoTrackRadio.com. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
The past two decades have seen alcohol play a growing role in deaths among young adults and women. What are the factors behind these grim statistics? Here with the story, InfoTrack reporter Gina Tedesco. Gina?
Thanks, Chris. Joining us now is Dr. Charles Hennekins, a study co-author and the first Sir Richard Dahl Professor of Medicine and Preventive Medicine at Florida Atlantic University Schmidt College of Medicine. Doctor, your team studied data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on alcohol-related deaths in the U.S. Findings showed the rate more than doubled from 1999 to 2020. Was the pandemic, which left many isolated and depressed, a strong driver in the death rate, you believe?
No, I don't believe that to be the case, because it was occurring over a 20-year period. It was much more dynamic. We believe that alcohol drinking was, for some of that period, increasing, but another culprit is overweight and obesity and less physical activity were increasing. Each of those factors have deleterious, independent, and possibly greater than additive effects on the liver.
So the deaths then were not just, as people might imagine, traffic accident deaths.
Oh no, they were not. It was alcohol-related mortality that includes diseases of the liver, cardiovascular disease, and various cancers associated with alcohol.
I suppose there was a mental component here as well, was there not?
Well, there is a mental component, but this relates more not to our study as much as alcoholic dementia is a contributor to the decreases in cognition with increasing age. And in addition, chronic heavy alcohol consumption is a major contributor to hospitalization in state facilities, as I said, due to various deleterious effects of alcohol, including cirrhosis and dementia.
Now, the study found the number of alcohol-related deaths in the U.S. jumped dramatically from just over 19,000 to about 48,000. And what's been called the most alarming increase is a fourfold jump in deaths among people ages 25 to 34. Doctor, do we know why this group was particularly affected?
Well, these data don't allow us to test that question, but we can hypothesize that there were independent deleterious effects that are possibly greater than the additive on the liver of alcohol itself, as well as overweight, obesity, and decreasing physical activity levels, which have been occurring over that period of time.
And also noteworthy was the death rate for women, which soared 2.5 times higher in that time period. Do we know, though, what might be causes for this?
I don't think so. We can only speculate, but men had the highest rates and saw the steepest increase overall, but women had the largest proportional rise, with deaths increasing, as you suggested, from 4.8 per 100,000 in 1999 to 12 per 100,000 in 2020.
And there could be, I think some have hypothesized, changing social norms about women drinking, it may be more acceptable, those sorts of things. Would that be ripe for future study?
Absolutely. There are many questions raised by these data. And I think it's important that the general public keep in mind that the small difference between drinking a small to a moderate to large amount of alcohol daily probably means a large difference between preventing and causing premature death. And the follow-up question, which is usually, well, what's a small amount that's safe? And it seems like it's no more than one drink per day in women and no more than two a day in men. And last but not least, it doesn't matter in most databases show whether the alcohol comes from beer, wine, or liquor. When you adjust for the alcohol component, the benefits and risks are the same. That's another one that's important for the general public to know. It's been suggested that people who drink red wine have preferential benefit, but that in most data sets seems to be attributable to social class. People of higher social class tend to drink red wine, and they have somewhat lower risk of the outcomes of this study.
We're visiting with Dr. Charles Hennekins of Florida Atlantic University, who co-authored a study on dramatic increases in alcohol-related deaths. The American Journal of Medicine published the study. So if we look further at attacking the problem, are there any public health policies that you would like to see either strengthened or put into place in the first place?
Well, I think that targeted interventions by health providers might be helpful that affect the people that are particularly being affected by this epidemic, and it is an epidemic, and they offer these solutions that could be implemented by health providers and public health practitioners at individual, community, state, national, and also global levels. There's a message for all in these data, not just the United States.
And I'm glad you said that, Doctor. It leads into my last question. Because alcohol use has become so ingrained in our society, do people just need experts such as yourself to remind them that alcohol deaths are preventable, not just a fact of life to accept?
Yes, I think this is an excellent point you raised, that two of the things that we're hoping health providers will do, if they're not already doing it, is understand that these are avoidable deaths potentially, and also that alcohol is a toxin. It's a toxin on the liver and on the brain. All these things are, we choose the way we die by the way we choose the way we live. And there's a lot of room for improvement here in the United States. And I want to end by congratulating the healthcare providers who know so much about their patients that are doing the most good, and patients appropriately respect them the most in terms of giving them useful information. So I'm cautiously optimistic that some of these trends may change in the future.
Dr. Charles Hennekins of Florida Atlantic University, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
For InfoTrack, I'm Gina Tedesco.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.
Dude, it's time to head to Grandma's for the holiday feast.
I mean, didn't you just smoke a bowl?
Yeah, but it's cool, man. Grandma won't notice.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Someone noticed, and it wasn't Grandma. If you think that others can't tell that you've been smoking marijuana and driving high, think again. Always remember, if you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI.
Let's face it, winter can be a hard season. It's cold pretty much all the time. Blizzard. You have to shovel. Another blizzard. You slip on ice. But you know what makes winter suck a little less? Getting a free phone. Join Cricket Nation and get a free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G. Ooh, ouch. Welcome to enjoying more. Welcome to Cricket Nation. Smile, you're on Cricket.
Cricket 5G is not available everywhere. Must open a new line on the $60 unlimited plan. First month service charge and tax due at sale. Fees, terms, and other restrictions apply. See cricketwireless.com for details.
Artificial intelligence, or AI, seems to dominate the headlines as it impacts virtually all areas of modern life. It also offers growth opportunities for career-minded individuals with a little technical know-how. InfoTrack reporter Roy Mackey has the details. Roy?
Thanks, Chris. Our guest is Ananda Ghose. He's a professor of technology and marketing at New York University's Leonard N. Stern School of Business and now the co-author of Thrive, Maximizing Well-Being in the Age of AI. Professor, your book explores how AI can positively affect so many aspects of our daily lives, from health and wellness to work, education, and home life. Let's start with well-being. Most experts say that we're in a mental health crisis today, and technology has often made us more isolated from one another. How can AI improve sleeping, exercise, or mental health?
These AI algorithms, based on your personal data, they can predict what's going to happen next and then offer you recommendations accordingly. So during this project that we did, we heavily harnessed like machine learning algorithms to on thousands of patients' healthcare data to understand individually each patient and then use their data and parameters to be able to predict and offer recommendations on what they should do next. So that's sort of the angle where AI is being used to learn from observational data of patients and then use also to create various interventions that will help improve their lives.
You write that AI has already changed online dating. Can AI foster better matches and more meaningful human connections?
Yes. 60% of matchmaking in the US is now happening on dating apps, which is amazing. If you think about like two out of every three people who are finding a date or even sometimes a soulmate, they're finding these through apps. Now, where does AI come in? To be able to render a successful match between A and B, the more attributes the apps have, the more information they have about their preferences, the better matchmaking they can do. And so I had done some consulting with companies like Tinder and Match.com, and Ravi has also worked quite extensively with dating companies. And we saw that, again, using some machine learning algorithms combined with like statistical models, we could significantly improve the matchmaking rate by matching people on more and more criteria so that the precision and the accuracy of the matching continues to improve. And so these dating companies are now leveraging quite extensively some of the advances in deep learning and reinforcement learning to further improve this matchmaking process.
Let's turn briefly to careers. Can you give us some examples of how AIs like ChatGPT can help a young person or maybe even someone who's seeking a midlife career change to find a perfect career match for their unique strengths?
Yeah. 65% of people look for a new job within 90 days of finding a new job. I mean, that's just staggering, right? Like two-thirds of the population seems to be unhappy with the new job within 90 days. This is also a different kind of matchmaking, one between employer and employee. And so the more information and data and the better algorithms you have to facilitate this matchmaking, the less the churn and longer the stickiness and longer the duration for which the employee will stick with the employer. And so that's one example where artificial intelligence through reinforcement learning is able to better understand like what are the attributes, sometimes tangible, sometimes intangible attributes of the organization or the employer that a particular employee may like or dislike, and then use that to facilitate the right set of recommendations. And then when you mention like ChatGPT, but many other companies like Meta and Google also offer their own versions. And so we have seen already like an extensive boost in productivity. Customer service agents using LLMs have boosted their productivity by more than 25%. So they can cater to more customer service queries and satisfactorily address them. So those are some examples where this is being used.
If you were going to give someone currently searching for a job just one piece of advice on how to use AI to help that job search, what would you tell them?
One angle I would suggest to them is the whole lifelong learning aspect of a job. Be open to embracing new skills. So one example of a new skill is prompt engineering. Companies are now actively looking to hire people who know how to ask the right questions to ChatGPT. That's known as prompt engineering because there is a little bit of science to that process. That's sort of my advice to any prospective job seeker.
Professor Ananda Ghose from New York University, the co-author of Thrive, Maximizing Well-Being in the Age of AI. Professor, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
And that's it for this week's show. InfoTrack's executive producer is Randy Meyer, and I'm Chris Whitting. We hope you'll join us right here next week for another edition of InfoTrack.
Holidays are here, and it's time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with 105.7 CFW. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app, then listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in our statewide contest with 105.7 CFW. CFW, sponsored locally by Peck Farms. CFW. From 105.7 CFW.
every day. Yeah, yeah. Ooh, baby, I love your way. Every day. Shadows grow so long before my eyes, and they're moving across the page.
This is the sound of my soul. This is the sound. What a ticket to Enjoy your favorite holiday music all season long on 105.7 CFW thanks to the Cremation Society of Wisconsin. Visit cremationsociety-wi.com.
The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide text to win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in our statewide contest.
It's the center of the Kringle-making world. Racine County wears the crown, and bakers like those at O&H create more than 10,000 of the delicate oval-shaped pastry every single day.
Just a great pastry. One that's hard to make, though, hard to replicate.
Peter Olison is a third-generation owner. O&H is celebrating its 75th year, but do you know if Wisconsin considers the Kringle our official pastry? The answer coming up.
The 500-square-foot corner bakery to offering our products by mail.
Baker Mike Massanella says their Kringle is shipped near and far. The tradition began when the Danes came to Racine in the late 1800s. And it is that past and present which created our official state pastry, the Kringle, in 2013. And it's a you can't have just one slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Wisconsin residents will see the largest increase in K-12 property taxes since 2009 this year. As school districts across the state struggle to keep up with their funding needs, they've turned to their communities with operational referendums. Nearly two-thirds of all districts in the state have passed a referendum over the last few years, and this year, residents will pay around $327 million more because of it. The K-12 property taxes increased by 5.7% this year after jumping 5.4% last year. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and the Department of Natural Resources have announced the recipients of the 2025 Urban Forestry Program grant. Funding was awarded to 43 applicants across the state, including the cities of Ashland and Menominee, as well as Polk County. In total, nearly $630,000 will be distributed for projects that put urban tree inventories to use, improve local urban forestry programs, and increase local urban forestry spending. The state hopes to plant 75 million trees by 2030. One of the two people accused of stealing an SUV in Barron County during a test drive has been sentenced to probation. According to court documents, 24-year-old Ariana Line of Cameron and 34-year-old Nicola Lowe of Webster were charged with felony theft after taking the vehicle for a test drive and never returning to the dealership. Line entered a guilty plea to the charges in October and was ordered to maintain complete sobriety as part of the plea. Line and Lowe were also ordered to jointly pay nearly $2,000 in restitution. The City of Eau Claire has announced new hours at City Hall beginning in the new year. Currently, City Hall is open from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, but officials say they've had trouble with fully staffing the building due to budget cuts in recent years. After conducting a community survey to determine which hours would best suit residents, the city has officially announced the changes. City Hall will now be open at 7:30 a.m. instead of 8 from Monday to Thursday and will close at 6 p.m. on Monday and 4:30 p.m. Tuesday through Thursday. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Chippewa Valley
weather. I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Widespread fog and cloud cover across the area today. As a result, high temperatures only in the mid and upper 30s, a light south to southeast wind. We'll continue to have patchy fog and clouds around in the overnight, lows near freezing, and on Monday, a chance of light snow. It's 33 at our studios. CFW.
It's my life.
Can you live my life?
It's my life.
1057 CFW.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. Simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
cause I'm not sleeping. There's something about you, girl, that makes me sweat. I'm lonely.
Chippewa Falls, a Civic Media radio station with the best of the 80s, 90s, and more. 105.7 CFW.